All right. Well, if you were here last week, we studied the entire Bible in one Sunday. And some of you missed something. No, I'm just kidding. And so we're going to try to do the opposite this week. We're just going to do one verse. And reading time will be significantly shorter this week. Last week was almost 19 minutes of reading. This week, about 9 seconds, I reckon. So what I would like to get you to do is take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Will you stand with me while we read God's word? Jeremiah 2, verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Thanks. Have a seat. My Heavenly Father, I ask that you take this time now in your word and use it for your praise, your glory, to draw our hearts closer to you and to expose to us things that we need to know about ourselves and to teach us things about you that will benefit us to know. And just give yourself praise and honor and glory through your people today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to do something that would be considered unconventional as we go through the next little part. And what it is I want to remind you of a song that was released in 1965 by a small little band that very few people have ever heard of called the Rolling Stones. they released a song, and the title of the song was Satisfaction, and in parentheses it said, "I can't get no." And so I just want to remind you of some of the lyrics. It says, "I can't get no satisfaction." I'm not going to sing it for you, so don't ask. "I try and I try and I try and I try and I can't get no, I can't get no." And then he begins to describe several scenarios in which he can't get no satisfaction. And he's watching TV, and a man comes on and tells me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. He just goes on and on and on, but the general gist is summed up in this. That's why I say I can't get no, I can't get no, I can't get no satisfaction, no satisfaction, no satisfaction, no satisfaction, I can't get no. So I think he was trying to make a point. What do you think it was? All right. Now, how does that work with Jeremiah? That's a good question. Let me give you a couple of things to think through out of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, and the Rolling Stones. And so no one else gets a sermon combining those two things today, I'm assuring you. So when I'm been living my life as a Christian, one of the things that continually plagues me is trying to understand why I struggle with sin. No matter what kind it is, I want to understand why I struggle with it. And, I know certain things. And so when I ask this question, I'm always going to get certain answers. And I want you to know one of the first things that I know, but I just struggle to put this in reality, is God is better than sin. I agree with that. I'm still struggling with sin, though. So I need more than just that. It's not that more than God, but I need more than that little quick answer. And then I get this one. Well, you're human. That's debatable, but I am human, and that doesn't answer the question as to why I'm struggling. That may be a part of my condition as a human, but that's not the root of what's going on. And I know that I have a sin nature because sin has entered the world, and I am just bent towards sin. I get that. But I have a new nature. I have a new heart, and I follow Christ as my Savior. And I want to know sometimes some help to know why I'm still struggling with this thing. And I want to give you just a little nuanced piece of information that I'm praying through and that I'm asking the Lord to use in my own life, and I ask Him to use it in yours as well as I prepared to teach this. But guys, listen, I want you to know that from this Jeremiah passage, we can learn some things about ourselves, some things about sin, and some things about God. So let's start with ourselves. One of the things that sticks out to me in this passage, just small little one verse of a piece of Jeremiah, is this. God gives this thing. He says He has two things that He sees His people doing that He declares to be evil. One is they have forsaken Him, the fountain of living waters. And two, they have gone and hewn out of like limestone these cisterns. Now, for those of us who are in the South, cistern is not the opposite of brethren. It is an actual... It's an actual hole dug or made into the ground in which people would hold water. Now, if you know anything about water, water is important. If you get into a climate like this when it was being written in, water is extremely important because you may go long periods of time without rain. If you go long periods of time without rain, when you have rain, you better find some way to try to store some of the rain to keep it there. Now, we love and enjoy. How many of you love and go over to the faucet and turn it on and watch water run out? That is an enormous blessing. But have you ever gone over and turned it on and nothing came? That is an earth-shattering moment in the life of a person who is used to having running water inside. And so, but what's happening here is God is accusing His people of two things. He's saying, you're forsaking Me, and you're trying to make something in place of Me. Now, what that tells me about myself is this. I was designed by God with a desire to be satisfied by something. Let me say that again. I was designed by God with a desire in me to be satisfied by something. Now, when God designed me and you, He designed us with a desire to be satisfied by Him. He is the chief satisfaction. But here's what we do. There are times when I, as a human being, and you as well, we will look to the all-satisfying Christ and then say, well, I want something else. Are you reminded of the children of Israel, like when they were in the wilderness? They had all the manna that they could need. But what happened after a while is that satisfying manna that was there for them in constant supply, whenever they needed it, God provided it. They began to grumble and complain because they wanted something else. And what happens with us is God in Christ is this all-satisfying thing for our soul. But we get to this idea where we're like, I don't want Christ to be my satisfaction for a little bit. I want something else. And so in the days of Israel, they were turning literally from serving God to going and turning and serving gods of stone and carved out gods. And it still happens today all around the world, and in our culture, we tend to do it in a different way. We may not turn and worship a statue sitting in a special room in our house, but we do turn and serve sin and our own personal desires fleshed out, trying to find satisfaction in some other way. So I learned about myself that I am driven to be satisfied. Now, why does that matter in this great quest of trying not to continue in sin? Well, here's why that matters. Because I need to know that inside of me, there is this drive that is going to be needy for forever. I lost almost everybody in that one statement. I love when I can do that. Okay, what you could have misinterpreted, let me give you a couple of misinterpretations of what I just said. You could have misinterpreted me to say that Christ isn't enough so it won't last. That's not what I'm going to say. I'll explain that towards the end. You could have misinterpreted me to say that I'm just, we're all just needy and there's no way we can be happy. That's not it either. But I do need you to see that from this passage, there is in me this desire to be satisfied. I want you to just think for just a second about your own personal life. Aren't you aware that you have a desire to be satisfied? I mean, you have it everywhere. Now, let me tell you how sin enters into our hearts and minds and causes us problems. Look at his description again. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, here's an issue with a cistern. If the cistern can't hold water, it's going to be a big problem. But before we get into all that, I want you to see some pictures in this cistern over to the sin that I want to talk about. In a cistern, the water is just sitting in a stagnant pool. What does water do when it sits in a stagnant pool? It gets progressively cleaner and cooler and tastier, right? No. It gets nastier and slimier, and it just overall, it gets grosser, right? And now, so what he's describing here is, in water terms, they're digging holes, they're trying to save the water, and there's two problems. This water will never be as good as a fresh flowing spring. And number two, this water is not only is it a limited supply, but the limited supply is leaking out the whole time. Now, when it comes to sin in my life, this makes perfect sense to me. I want you to know something about sin. Sin is pleasurable and satisfying momentarily. Okay, I thought y'all might be too holy to admit that. I really did. I thought you guys would just sit there stoically and be like, I ain't saying amen. But, you know, sin is pleasurable. It is enjoyable. It is satisfying for a moment. But here's where the issue comes with sin. Sin is just like stagnant water that's leaking out. In the sense of, if you keep going back to sin to try to find that satisfaction, it is going to lead to your sickness and death. If you keep going back to it, let me give you an example. You say, I'm confused. What do you mean? Let me give you an example. One of my primary sins has to do with eating. If I continue to overeat sinfully, I will eat myself to death in the sense of I could do something that would affect my heart. I could do something that would affect me with diabetes. There's on and on the list could go of health issues. So not only is there a spiritual effect on me in that I'm not walking with the Lord and enjoying His good, close fellowship, but there's literally I can kill myself with this thing. How about an alcoholic? What if an alcoholic continues to look in the bottom of the next bottle for the satisfaction that they long for? Yeah, his liver is going to eventually say, I'm kind of done with this whole thing. It's over with. How about this? How about a person who looks for satisfaction in sexual conquest? Do we have any evidence anywhere that if you keep on pursuing that lifestyle, that it may have a negative effect on you? Yeah, there's this whole array of STDs, are there not? And so on and on we could go with examples of how that works out. But here's another problem with sin. Have you ever noticed that when you do a particular sin and you find satisfaction and pleasure in it momentarily, you go back to it, have you noticed that it is not the same level of pleasure and satisfaction the next time? So you know what you do? You try to find some way to heighten it, to hype it up. But here's the problem. As fast as you can try to dip out of that sin to find satisfaction and pleasure, it is running out the bottom of the cistern. Yeah. And so there is not enough of it there to satisfy you. You say, well, I could be satisfied in it for a long period of time. I've struggled with this thing 37 years. And so there is a lot of supply of sin there. Well, yeah, you're right. But there is not an eternal supply. And there is not a supply that is good and healthy and building you up. Now, why do I bring this up? Because as Christians, we need to know that one of the problems that we have is we were built by God with a desire to long for Him, to find satisfaction in Him. When we stop looking to Him for that satisfaction, we are going to look for it somewhere. You're not just going to stay where you are. You're going to look somewhere for it. And when you look and I look to sin or the worship of anything else other than God, what we're going to find is we are slowly poisoning ourselves. We are hurting our own bodies and minds and spirits. And we are dealing with an exhaustible source. Now, all that's really, really important because as I struggle with my sin, I need to have this mentality that every time I turn my focus away from God, whatever I turn to, it may be pleasurable. It may give me satisfaction for a moment. But I've got to remind myself that it is not really satisfying. It is not really fulfilling me the way that I want it to do. Now, the reason that we still struggle with it, though, is because we are well aware of the pleasures and satisfactions that we enjoy in sin, aren't we? All right. Right. Okay, so if I overeat, there are certain satisfactions that come with that almost instantaneously. And I can feel them and I know how to tangibly bring them about. So I know if I go to the kitchen and I eat something that I want to and I eat as much of it as I want to, I know what the result will be and I want to bring that about and so I carry it out. Now, when it comes to interacting with God and finding my satisfaction in Him, I want God to work in the same way. I want God to give me a list of the things that I need to do. So I need to come to the refrigerator, I need to do this, and I'm going to find that satisfaction. And He says, no, in me you find the satisfaction. So in other words, when I point and aim all of my life at Christ is when I enjoy the greatest amount of satisfaction that I can. But that's hard for me because every single day I wake up and my desires for satisfaction are tempted and drawn away by temporary in front of my face satisfactions that are everywhere that I look. When I stop at the store, there's soda in the case, and there's honey buns on the shelf. Right? You may say, I don't have any struggle with that at all. But every time I go in that same store, I can't walk past the beer section without going home with 4 or 8 suitcases worth. It could be that you could say, I can be in that same store, walk by all that stuff, but if one member of the opposite sex walks by in anything that I consider to be good looking, I'm gone for the rest of the afternoon. And on and on and on we could go about the temptations that we face in life that try to draw away this desire to be satisfied in God, and they try to draw us to find that satisfaction in something else. So I've learned about myself, I'm made by God to have a desire to be satisfied in Him. When I am drawn away by sin, it is because I have left off trying to find my satisfaction in God, and I'm looking for it somewhere else. Everywhere else that I look will be sin. Every single place that I look will be sin. This is why I don't think it's good for you to make yourself a list of things that you can do and things you can't do. Because you can do things that are on your good list that are sinful, sinful, sinful. Because you're not really seeking that desire to be satisfied in Christ in them. You're being satisfied in your good works that you do in them. You with me? And so it's not so much about a list of things. How many of you that when you wake up every day, you know that there's a good chance you've got about 2, maybe 4 or 5 things that you're going to face that day that are going to be temptations to you to find satisfaction in something other than Jesus? How many of you, somewhere between 2 and 5? Could be higher. Most of us have found that we know there's a consistency here. There's 2 or 3 or 5 that I'm going to see pretty regular every day. Now, when I know that, when I wake up, one of the things that I've got to know is the desire in me is not bad. The desire to be satisfied is not bad. It's what I'm trying to be satisfied with is where I run into the problem. And so if I really want to experience true satisfaction, I'm going to have to say in the morning, I'm going to have to orient my heart, my mind, and my thoughts towards Jesus. If I wake up and hit the ground thinking about what I'm going to eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack, I've already set myself up to find satisfaction in food for that day. That's not wise. Because now I've already put myself behind the eight ball, so to speak. I'm already in a difficult position to try to go through this day in a way that pleases the Lord and find satisfaction in Him and Him alone. Now, what is He like in comparison to that? He is like the fountain of living waters. Now, I need to give you some information about these phrases here, and I want you to hear them. They're really, really amazing. He says, fountain of living waters. This phrase reminded me of something when I read it. When I used to work at UPS, one night I was walking down, you had to park like 6.5 miles from the hub, and we were walking down the hill, and we looked up, and there was water everywhere. There was water across the road. There was water in the parking lot in the business in front of the hub. There was just water everywhere. You see, the cabinet shop in front of the hub had gotten a delivery, and the guy doing the delivery had not noticed the fire hydrant. So when he ran over the fire hydrant, it began to shoot water into the air. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the joy of seeing a fire hydrant get knocked off of the line, but it's amazing for everybody that doesn't have to work with it. And so here I am, I'm walking down the hill, and literally about 40 feet in the air is this tower of water about this big around or so, and it's mushrooming out and falling back down to the ground. To get into the hub, we had to walk through about knee-deep water through a parking lot to get into the hub because UPS is not going to close business for anything, and so we had to walk on in. But what I want you to know is what was amazing as we walked down the hill, we worked our four-hour shifting and came back out, and it was still going. What was amazing is just to see this amount of water just rushing out, It seems to be endless. Now, the picture in my mind there is what I'm supposed to grab a hold of when I think of the amount of satisfaction that I can find in Jesus. Jesus is a flow of clean, cool, spring water that is just not just barely trickling out. Have you ever found an actual natural spring before? And you're going along, and the part where you find that it might be just a trickle, but it's cool, it's good, and man, I'm telling you, it's really good. If you hadn't had water in a while, you will love that spot. But what he's talking about here is not just a little trickle of satisfaction that's coming down, just enough to get you by. He's talking about a flow of water that can literally bring life with it that comes right to you. Now, we know that this is ultimately pointing to Jesus, because when Jesus was on the earth, he talked about himself being that living water. He talked about when you and I accept him as our Savior, that he becomes a flow, a wellspring of water from your heart that just keeps on rolling. So he talks about himself in that way. So he is that satisfaction that does not run out. He never is, there's never a point at which we will long for satisfaction and we will look to Jesus and there won't be any there. There's never going to be a moment like that. Now, the reason that is important is because of this. If you're a Christian, and you struggle with sin, and you find a moment of satisfaction in it, have you ever noticed that there are times that you will do that sin, and you get no satisfaction out of it whatsoever? You just seem to be enslaved to that desire for it, and yet get no satisfaction out of it. You should say yes. You should say yes. Okay? When you see that, you're being taught a valuable lesson about God. So how's that? Because you are given a picture that satisfaction from any source other than Jesus will not always deliver satisfaction. Amen. And so what we're going to find is when we turn and orient our lives towards Christ, the satisfaction that we long for, we will find in him. And it will not run out. It will not dry up. Now, here's a part of what I needed help with that flows out of all of this. I had built this idea in my mind that I shouldn't struggle with sin because Christ is all fulfilling, correct? Right, he is. But here's the thing about the way that God designed me. I'm designed to need to continually go back to him for that satisfaction and fulfillment. I'm not a one-shot and done guy. Neither are you, okay? Now, my salvation's totally covered in one time Christ died. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my satisfaction in Christ is I have to continually go back to him. Now, what that teaches me is this. I need to know that I am needier than I thought. Some of you looked at a spouse Oh, he's needy, is he? Oh, really? That's incredible. All right, so I need to know right now that I am needier than I thought I was. The reason that that's just so valuable to me is because instead of thinking, okay, I should be fine today because I had a good time fellowshipping with Christ yesterday at church, so I should be good on Monday. Instead, now when I wake up on Monday, I'm looking to Christ and saying, I need more satisfaction. I need more fulfillment. I need more of what you offer because you've made me to long for this. And so I want that fulfillment. I want that every single day. Now, if I can begin to say that every day that I get up, then I'm already ahead of where I've been in the past. That doesn't mean that I'm going to make it through Monday without sinning. It just means that I'm learning what it means to really battle with sin. It means I'm learning to get beyond just saying, I shouldn't do that, and I should do that, and that's the way it needs to be. I'm learning that my relationship with Christ is one that I need to know that is built on me finding satisfaction in Him, and that when I turn to anything else for satisfaction, I'm going to be let down and disappointed because nothing else can satisfy like He does. So when I go every day and wake up and say, okay, Christ, today I want to find my satisfaction in you, and then begin to walk along with Him, I find out His satisfaction is abundant. It's more than enough. Christ has enough in Himself to satisfy the desires of my heart greater than any sin could ever satisfy me. He is life-giving, which is totally different than sin. Sin is deceitful and killing. God in Christ is life-giving. When you find satisfaction in Jesus, have you ever noticed that it pumps you up for life? You are like, this is awesome. I feel more alive today than I ever felt before. Now, and which is funny because we actually, in our world, we market sin to be that way. We market sin a bit. Well, you're not really living unless you're just doing whatever you want to do. Or you're not really living until you try this kind of sin. And actually, it couldn't be the more opposite that would be right. It's actually when we begin to find our satisfaction in God and in Christ, we are then truly satisfied. He is eternally capable of satisfying us, because He has an inexhaustible source of satisfaction. What do you know currently that is inexhaustible? Jesus. That is it. Everything else will fade out. So how do you and I begin to live in light of some of these truths? It's not as complex as we would like it to be so that we can make an excuse for why we struggle with it. All right? One thing that you can do. The next time you seek satisfaction in something other than Jesus, I want you to remember that that satisfaction is cheap, it is short-term, and its attempt is to kill you, not to make you live. You say, well, how will that help me? Well, let me ask you this. If every time you went to get something to drink, you had to choose between battery acid and water, and you knew what happened, don't you think that over time it would begin to shape your opinion about whether to drink battery acid or water? I'm not saying instantaneously, but I'm talking about you're learning something, you're training your mind. Guys, we have to learn and train our hearts and minds with these things. They don't just happen overnight. Now, the next thing that you could do is to know the consequences of the wrong type of fulfillment, but then learn this. We need an appetite for the kind of satisfaction that Jesus brings about. Do you remember when you were a kid? One of the favorite things that kids love is to go by McDonald's and get a pack of chicken nuggets. If they get to choose where they're going to eat when they're little, they say, McDonald's, and I want chicken nuggets and a Happy Meal because it has a toy. But now, listen, if you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, by now I hope that you have developed an appetite for something of greater worth than McDonald's chicken nuggets. Hopefully by now you say, you know, a nice steak cooked medium rare would be very good. Or something other than a McDonald's chicken nugget. And I want you to know, a part of what is going on in our struggle to find that fulfillment and that satisfaction in Christ is we've not, as Christians, grown to the point that we have developed a more mature taste of what real satisfaction tastes like. We're still down here saying, well, I want the chicken nugget of my lust, or the chicken nugget of my overeating, or the chicken nugget of whatever sin that I have. I want that kind of satisfaction. And God is like, yeah, but I've got filet mignon that you don't need a fork or teeth to eat. You just gum this thing and swallow it down. It's delicious, and you're going to love it. But you've got to learn. You've got to grow. You've got to move into that. And so don't just accept some little mediocre, small appetite for satisfaction that is found in sin. Develop a full, just flowing desire for that satisfaction in Christ. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, it is our desire as Christians, every Christian that's in this room, it is their desire because you have planted it in us to be satisfied. And Father, we admit that day by day we struggle with finding that satisfaction in your Son, and we oftentimes, look to other things, things that cheaply try to satisfy it. But I pray that by your grace you would begin to teach our hearts to desire the satisfaction that only comes by your Son, that we would learn to savor and enjoy the satisfaction that He brings rather than the momentary, ever fleeting, never fulfilling satisfaction that seems to come, oh, just for a short moment in sin. Lord, that we would learn that you are the one we should aim and orient all of our lives to, so that we can not just know you, but we can just enjoy that fulfillment of satisfaction that we long for and were created to know in you. Help us to understand how needy we are in all of these things, so that in the end, we would just devote ourselves completely to you, not because you need us, but because we need you. And I just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Now, as you sit here, I just want to ask just very briefly if there's anybody here who would say, you know what, with the heads bowed and the eyes closed, you know what, preacher, I'm a believer, and my daily struggles really have me discouraged. And I would like to ask that you would just pray for me, that I would begin to seek Jesus as the all-satisfying answer to that instead of anything else. Is there anybody here? Just lift your hand up and say, that's me. I'm struggling, and I want to honor Christ, and I want to find satisfaction in Jesus. I'm raising my hand too, guys. There's no need to be ashamed. Is there somebody here who would say, you know, I've spent my whole life and I've been trying to find that satisfaction, and I've looked everywhere I know where to look. I have looked in everything imaginable, and I can't find a satisfaction that truly satisfies. One that won't end, that won't run out, that will become one that won't become too weak. If there's anybody here today who says, I don't know Jesus, but He is who I need. My soul, it needs Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need satisfaction. I need that fulfillment that I long for, and I believe that only Jesus can offer it. Is there anybody here? If you're here today and that's you and you want to know Christ as your Savior, then I just encourage you to do this. Just look up here at me and lift your hand up. And the reason for that is I want to take a moment just to explain to you how simple it is to accept Christ as your Savior. Is there anybody here? Just look up at here. Don't be ashamed. Just lift your hand up if you're here and want that. Okay. All right. Well, friends, if you'll look right up here this way, I want to thank you for being here. And I want to thank our youth for leading our worship this morning, and very appreciative of you guys doing that. And now we're going to have our time of our offering, and so if you guys want to come on up and prepare to take the offering, I'd appreciate that. Or Austin, you're pretty, got pretty long arms, you can probably do it all. All right. If I